All right. So last week we began discussing, or we really finished discussing, we discussed an idea from the Avnei Eliyahu, from the Gra and his son, Rabbeinu Avraham Ben Gra, about the relationship between Atah Hashem Levadcha, that we say that you, Hashem, alone should rule over us, b'chesed uv'rachamim, in kindness and in mercy. So we discussed last week the connection between why you, Hashem, alone is related to being with chesed and with rachamim. And tonight we're going to try and discuss the lead-in from that phrase to the last words, the tzadkenu b'mishpat, and you should...
of your goodness should flow down to the judges.
So we'll translate it vaguely right now. We'll just say, you should deal with us with tzedek in mishpat. We're going to try and define both those terms, tzedek and mishpat, more acutely soon, but for now we're just going to leave them as tzedek and mishpat. But you should treat us with tzedek in mishpat. So we'll get to what that means in a moment. We're going to try and explain the flow of that previous phrase into this phrase, the connection between the two. So we're going to explain what exactly tzedek and mishpat are, and then try and understand the connection. But to do that, I just wanted to briefly recap what we discussed last week. I'm not going to go through it in all of the detail that we discussed last week, but basically we discussed the idea from the Gra. The Gra explains that we say, he says it's along the lines of what we say in in Kael Adon. We say zechus u'mishor lifnei chiso, that merit and directness, straightness, are before his kise, before his throne. Chesed v'rachamim, and kindness and mercy, lifnei chavodo, are before his glory. And the idea of Hashem's kise means his representatives, his representation in the world is his kise, and his kavod, the Gra understands, at least within this piyut, to be referring to, you know, Hashem himself, right? We say bichvodo uva'atzmo, right? In all his glory, right? That it's zechus u'mishor lifnechi. So zechus and mishor, merit and justice are before his kise, and chesed and rachamim are before his or his kavod, meaning before his self. And the Gra explains that there's two elements of the way that Hashem interacts with the world. That Hashem has the element of interaction, or the aspect of interaction of din, of strict justice, according to the mishpat of the heavenly court, that there's a din, that there's a beis din shalmala, there's an actual court in Shemayim, and the court has the rules of how a court functions. A court follows a system, and you follow the books, and everything is by the books, and everything is the way it's supposed to go, and everything follows that, and everything follows trust, everything follows a merit system. There's no freebies. Everything follows exactly the way the rules are decided. And that's lifnei chiso. When it comes to Hashem's kisei, which is the kisei of din, right, which is Hashem's judgment, so then everything follows the rules of schos, follows the rules of merit, as opposed to when it's lifnei chavodo, when it's bichvodo uva'atzmo, when it's Hashem himself, not through the court, not through the Beis Din Shalmala, not through the system of mishpat, but Hashem himself.
Beis Din Shalmala, what is that?
Beis Din Shalmala means the heavenly court.
Okay, so how can there be a distinction between what Hashem is directly doing and the infrastructure in Shemayim that is processing what is not directly to Him? What is that? I don't think I understand what that means.
So hold on one second. We'll see if... I'll repeat a mashal that I gave last week, and we'll see if it makes it clearer.
Please do.
But we'll get to that in one moment. But basically, that when it comes to when the din is by Hashem Himself, not through the system that was set up of mishpat, so then there's chesed and rachamim. Then things can go even those not necessarily deserving can have special dispensation. And we mentioned last week the Ramchal and Derech Hashem discusses two types of hashgacha. There's the hashgacha of a beis din in Shemayim, and the Ramchal discusses that the beis din, there are angels that are appointed to be the head of the court, and there's an actual court, and there's an actual head of the court, and there are agents who bring the evidence to the court, who watch what happens in the world, and they bring that to the court, and they give that information to the court, and the court rules accordingly, and they process accordingly, and everything, it's a real system. Everything is set up in a real functioning system. And everything is defined, and everything has rules. And the Beis Din Shamar functions by those rules. And we mentioned last week the idea that a malach is bound by a system. That's why we mentioned last week that when after the chait that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm not going to lead you anymore. My angel is going to. Right, Moshe said, "Please, Hashem, don't destroy that. Don't destroy us. Please to stay with." And Hashem said, "Okay, fine." After the chait of the Meraglim. So Hashem said that. So Hashem said, "I'm not going to lead you anymore. Hinei malachi holy chofanecha. My angel is going to go in front of you." And then Hashem warns Moshe to tell the people, "Test him. Don't be very careful with him, because he won't put up with your pishayim. He won't put up with your negligence and your infractions." Meaning, the implication of Hashem, what Hashem is saying, before now, I can put up with your negligence, with your mess ups, but the angel's not going to put up with it. Why? Because the angel has he's an automated response mechanism.
That's bad cop. He gave. So it sounds like once you upload the program to the Malachi, they know what to do. They're on din. They're din soldiers. So Hashem can sort of back off like this.
And right? And they don't make
bechira
any
because they've been made where there's no bechira. But Hashem
can only do what they're programmed to do. Right?
Right.
So
Hashem doesn't need to be bothered with din. He's built himself a din moat. He's like, only Chesed and Rachamim are coming for me because din can be dealt with out here. That's the idea? Or he is
not
Hashem,
exactly.
Hashem has direct din. Original din.
The Ramchal explains, in both modes of the Hashkacha, Hashem is overseeing them. The difference between the two is the process through which the din is decided and executed. So there's the Beis Din, and everything can go through, and that's a system that's set up, and everything has rules, and everything goes exactly according to that. And then there's Hashem himself. He can decide to, the way the Ramchal discusses, the way he says it is, Hashem himself can decide to take the place of the head of the court. Now he's the one who's running the court. But the mashal that we gave last week is like this. You have a king, and there's a village, whatever part of the kingdom, and the king, isn't there to judge every case that comes up. So he sends an instruction booklet. He sends, the list of laws of how certain cases are meant to be judged, and he sends that to this little village. And now in the village they have this book, and in order to execute
they know it came from the king,
they know this is the king's law, and in order to execute the law of the king, they have to follow the book. And if they would decide in a certain case that, they feel in this case that it would be more appropriate to do this way or that way, so that would be inappropriate. The king said, this is how you rule this case, and they don't have far be it from them to second guess the king's judgment.
The Malachim have a sign that says no posketing about.
But if one day the king shows up to the town,
right,
and he decides, he's coming to the court that day, and he's making the decisions in court, and somebody shows up, and there's, they present the case, and the king says, rules it a certain way, whichever way it is. Now, somebody, one of the little judges there on the side says, but, and holds up the little book and says, but here it says do it this way. So he says, who wrote the book? Whose book is that? That's my, I make the, I'm not, I made those rules. The king himself is not bound by the system that he created.
And I can change them.
And I can change the rules. And it's,
like,
and not only that,
part of the rule,
but it's a greater expression of his being the king,
right,
when he shows that he's not just the guy who was responsible for making rules and now the rules are objective. He made the rules. The rules are only rules because he said they're rules. And
Hold on a second.
And the fact that he can override the rules,
right,
That itself is the greatest display of the fact that he is the one in charge.
Right.
And therefore, he
right.
can, if the
right.
thing if it's judged by the court,
right.
so then the court has to follow the rules. But when the king himself is the one making the judgments, so now there's room for chesed and rachamim because
right.
the king himself can decide
right.
to do whatever
right.
he wants.
Right. So the mashal ends at the very point at what is the fundamental distinction between Hashem and the king. If the king acts like that, he says, forget the book that I sent you, I'm the king, they don't like him. That's not a popular political leader. Hashem, because it's Hashem, we love Hashem. And it's true chesed and it's true rachamim. So the mashal comes right up to the point where the mashal is a mashal, doesn't actually explain the reality. If it did, then we would say that the king is actually like Hashem. King is not.
Well, I guess it probably would depend on what the king was doing. Like, if the king was coming and just, you know, being arbitrary and flipping coins whenever it was and been saying, I don't care about the rules, I'm the king. But if the king was, you know, looking and seeing, you know, this person is, you know, look at him, he's poor, he's unfortunate, I know the rules say this, but I'm the king, I can give special dispensation,
so
I don't think people would be upset with that either. But
did Shlomo HaMelech have that kind of power? Did he have the power if he had the king's book? Because the mashal, my question is, does the mashal work for Shlomo HaMelech? You could replace the king. It's just my go-to.
Well, it depends which kind of laws we're talking about. In Jewish court, the king had the ability to
override everybody?
To override the, I mean, the king could be Dan Yechidi, the king could be judged by himself and decide the case based on, but the king didn't have the rights to violate halacha.
How many men on the court? 70?
An ordinary monetary law case, you just have three. If they were a hung jury, then you would, if there was two of them argued with each other and the third one said, I don't know, then you would add more judges, but you basically start with three.
And at any point, the king, who's not part of that process, could come in and say, I don't care how many of you say this one way, we're going this way.
I believe so, as long as it's not something that is a matter of prohibited or permitted, meaning I believe that if, you know, two people were having a monetary dispute, the king could decide, you know, that I'm going to, you know, the king had basically the ability to, I don't want to say do whatever he wanted, but in a certain sense, do whatever he wanted with people's money.
Because
so
he
could say,
Torah scholar, or because his advisors were Torah scholars?
No, because he was the king.
Right, but what gave him the moral authority? There were revolts against kings, right? What gave him the moral authority
well,
to be the Melech? Because he understands Torah
well,
so well?
In Torah, the question is that, if a king is an appointed king of Israel by a Navi, with Mashiach, or whatever, is it morally if acceptable to rebel against him?
Right.
Is there legal justification for rebellion?
Every real king comes about from a Navi's appointment?
Yes. I mean,
Yes.
David was appointed by Shmuel.
Right. Right, of course. That's the big one. I wondered about the big
one.
Shmuel, you may have heard of him.
Right. But in any case, so this is the idea of, and therefore, when it's the line that we explained last week, Umloch aleinu ata Hashem levadcha, you alone, Hashem, rule over us, you directly rule over us, b'chesed v'rachamim, and then it'll be b'chesed v'rachamim, then it will be through mercy and through kindness, right? If it's through the system of din, so then there's no mishpat is mishpat. The law is the law, and that's the way it works. But if it's through ata Hashem levadcha, you Hashem alone, yourself directly are getting involved. So that's when there's room for chesed and mishpat. Now I want to just explain the next line, v'tzadkenu and mishpat, and then we're going to try and give another layer of meaning to that. But I want to start before we get into it with a piece from the Malbim in Sefer HaKarmel. I get the teacher's edition here. But you guys have the copies here.
Who is the Malbim? I've heard it many times. Who is the Malbim?
The Malbim was Meir Leib Ben something. I remember he was in a 19th century Torah leader in Poland, I believe. He was known for his scholarship in Tanakh and specifically in the way in which he used, he was very, the he would prove from the verses, the words themselves, show where all the midrashim, which sometimes seem somewhat, you know, far-fetched or arbitrary to the unexperienced reader, show how really the most precise reading of the psukim really led directly to what the Chazal were saying. And one of the things that the Malbim is famous for is for precise meanings of words. One of the things that he is famous for, and this is actually something which was not necessarily universally accepted, but the Malbim was very insistent that there is no such thing as a synonym in Hebrew.
Yes.
Right? And the Malbim, therefore, the Sefer Karmel is not actually written by the Malbim, but it's written based on extractions from all of the writings of the Malbim, is basically a dictionary. It is defining words and often contrasting between words which are either similar or that you find together and how they relate. And in the piece we're going to see is actually the Malbim talking about what the difference is between tzedek and mishpat. So the Malbim here says, the Malbim here writes, we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to read parts of it. I just want to read it in his own words because the way he says it very clear. And then we're going to go back through it and try and put it together for our purposes. It says, Hahevdel bein tzedek ubein mishpat. We're down over here. The difference between tzedek and mishpat, who is mishpat, Mishpat is that which is executed, which is done according to the strict letter of the law. Mibli sheyashkif al hanidonim, without looking at the subjects of the judgment, the al ha'ace and the time frame, the al ha'makom and the place, not taking context of what happened into account. Ala yikov adin esar, but rather the din should pierce the mountain. Which means that the din is, it just goes straight. There's a mountain in the way, it's going to go right through.
There's an MS, and regardless of the extenuating circumstances, it zeroes right in on that MS.
Exactly right, and we're going to get back to that point.
So that's mishpat.
That's mishpat. The tzedek is humasha yita min akav mishpat, is that which veers off from the strict line of justice. El chukei hatzedek, Torah words, the rules of tzedek. Lahashkev ala inyan v'anidonim, to look at the general idea of what's going on, and the nidonim, to take the subjects of the din into account. Vayerech lifnim mishoras hadin, and to go within the letter of the law. Lefi ha'is v'amakom v'ayoshar, according to the situation, the time period, the place, and the and the laws of just what's more appropriate.
Two shorish questions. What is the shorish of mishpat? What is the shorish of tzedek?
They're their own shorish.
They are their own shorish.
Yeah. So tzedek is tzedek, and mishpat, I mean, comes from shofet, is from the same word mishpat, right?
So you can't even answer like that.
Right? Ukishaba Hashem tzedek. Okay, actually, we're going to skip this next part. Then skipping to the next paragraph. Now the Malbim talks about what is tzedek and mishpat when they come together. I mean, and this is very directly now, two concepts are going to be linked, but this is very now directly related to what we're talking about. Hashemos tzedek u'mishpat. The terms tzedek and mishpat, kisha yavyu, I'm sure kisha yavo, yachad eitzal Hashem yisparach, when ha'nhagas olam, when they come together to describe Hashem's running of the world, mora mishpat alan haga ativis hamisuderes. Mishpat is indicative of the natural hanhaga of we're up here.
Wait, we went up.
Yeah, we went up here and now we moved over here.
Oh,
right. That it's mishpat is demonstrates the natural order of the way that God has set the world up to run. Shahakol katsuv v'shakol kafi hanimusim, that everything is set and measured and determined according to hanimusim v'achukim hakavum mireishis, the laws and systems that were set up in place in the beginning, kedumim sholishtanu, in such a way that they don't change. V'lo yavdil bein aroi ubein abilti roi, does not differentiate between what's appropriate, inappropriate, what's capable or incapable of receiving this din. Just the world works on the system in a very general, broad strokes kind of way. There's a system, and the system applies to everything, and that's the way it goes.
And it's been there since Bereishis.
The Yitzayin Gam Hamasim Sheyaseh Hashem, the Hashkif Abnei Adam, It all this also includes that which Hashem does in his seeing, in his overlooking, watching over people, benisim nistarim b'chukei teva, through the hidden miracles which are carried out within the laws of nature. Using the laws of nature, God sometimes carries out miracles which do not break the laws of nature, they work within the laws of nature. Those are still considered part of mishpat. Shehem bilti murgashim rakol. Those are things which are generally undetectable. If you're very sensitive to it, you will notice it. But it's something which is not necessarily noticed. The nisim nistarim, the small miracles, which could seem just like coincidence, that nothing happened out of the ordinary, except that it was maybe improbable. Those nisim, those are within the rules of mishpat, because they work within the system that God set up. The tzedek, Moe Ahan Hagan Nisis, tzedek is indicative, demonstrates the miraculous guiding of the world, benisim geluyim mimekor haflos, with open miracles from the source of wonders, meaning from coming from God himself. Kimo kriyas yamsuf yiridas aman, like the splitting of the sea and the fall and the man coming down from Shemayim. Those are things which, you know, those aren't just improbable, those are impossible. Those are nisim geluyim, open revealed miracles which cannot be explained naturally. And those are part of, that's what the hanhaga of tzedek. Shehim morgashim regulim rakol, it's openly revealed. The hanhaga zu mora al maisa Hashem mitzad elokuso birtson rapashin. This method, this mode of running the world is indicative, demonstrates God's actions from his position of being the absolute divinity, of being absolutely divine, absolutely in charge, and he runs the world according to his will. Miblisha Yashkif ala Mishparati via Kavua. He doesn't have to worry, concern himself with the set rules that are set in place, Kifihuke Ateva Kolim, according to the general rules of how nature runs. Ala Yashkif Lifi Azman Va Inyan, he can look at the situation and the matter at hand, and go within the letter of the law, meaning go beyond what the rules of nature would allow, and do what's necessary for this specific situation in a broader context. This natural method of running the world, tichuna gam b'shem emes, is also called the principle of emes, which is very related to what you were saying before, that mishpat is like, there's an emes, there's a truth, it's absolute, and it is what it is. That's the anug of mishpat, is the anug of emes. Things are the way they are, and that's the way they are. Sheyishma Hashem emunatu amisu b'mash yasa b'chukei teva, which is that Hashem is protecting and preserving the system that he set up. He's being, so to speak, loyal to the system that he set in place. Van haga anisis tachuna b'shem chesed. The miraculous method is also called chesed. Ki shoresh atzedeku chesed, the shoresh, the root of tzedek, is chesed, is righteousness, or kindness. Shemei avas chesed hamot bas v'nefesh ha-shofet yita lef'alme me'adin ha-kavua laso tzedaka. Because the innate chesed that a judge might have will cause him to veer away from the strict, imposing the strict measures of judgment, and go lift Nimishos again, and go beyond the letter of the law. So, one last line before you get to what you want to say. The Zehush Amar, that is what is meant when it said, Tzedek u'mishpat machon kisecha, chesed v'emes yikad mufanecha. Tzedek and mishpat are the foundation of your throne, your presence in this world. Chesed v'emes yikad mufanecha, and chesed and emes come before your presence. So we have tzedek and mishpat lining up with chesed and emes. And tzedek is, in this world, the application it's an emanation of that midah of chesed. Chesed, lifnei Hashem, that midah of chesed that Hashem has, that is manifest in this world, is applied in this world as tzedek. And the midah of emes is applied in this world as mishpat. Right? And one last point that he makes, it says, and that's what we say at Shabbos Mincha, Tzidkasecha kaharei keil, that your tzedek are like mighty mountains, and mishpatecha kitahom rabbah. And your mishpat is like the deep depths. Your tzedek is like the mountains. They're up, they're clear, they're visible, they're looming for all to see. That's what tzedek is. Tzedek is the open miracles. And then, but your mishpat is Tehom Rabbah. It's deep under the depth. The mishpat, the nisim nistarim, the natural world, that's hidden. You have to look very deep to detect the presence of Hashem going on in that in that context. Right? All right, I want to stop here in the Malbim. There's more than he says, but I want to put everything together before we all have to run. But basically, so to put everything for our purposes, so Mishpat is the Shuras Adin. It's the letter of the law. It's not accounting for extenuating circumstances for the situation. Tzedek is looking at the bigger picture. It's the individual circumstances, the place and the time. It's a lifnim misharas adin, within the letter of the law. Mishpat is that everything is measured according to the rules and systems established at the beginning, and within a din, within a judgment, mishpat is following the rules, the letter of the law, and within running the world, mishpat is within the rules, following the laws of the natural world. It's sticking to the book. And that, like we said, includes the nisim nistarim, because those are also done within the laws of nature. That it's still fitting within the system. Tzedek is the hanhaga. Tzedek is the mode of the nisim geulim, the open miracles, display Hashem's absolute power, which override the system which is in place. Tzedek within a din is when you override the rules on the book and you go beyond the letter of the law, and you issue a ruling with chesed. And within the world, within running the world, tzedek is going beyond the system that's set in place and breaking the rules and violating the laws of nature in order to do what needs to be done in this situation. One second. Mishpat. where do I have to? Mishpat looks at freeze frames. It looks at each situation according to just what happened, and the din of that maisa, of that action, of that specific event. Whereas tzedek looks at the big picture, it takes a broader context into account. This is very similar to how we explained the idea. We explained this at length, I'm not going to get too much back into it. The idea of a tekiah and a trua. Tekiah, the Sfarim say, is related to the midah of chesed. A tekiah is one long contiguous sound, right? It's a big picture. Everything is connected. Everything is looked at together. As opposed to the teruah, the Sfarim say, is connected to din, is connected to judgment. The teruah is the broken sound. It's the blasts that are interrupted and broken up, because that's what din is. Din is when you look at everything in its own context. You don't look at the big picture. You take everything only as what's in front of you, as what is. That's where din comes from. So that's what mishpat and tzedek are, those two things. We'll move on in a minute, but yeah, let's before you explode, go ahead.
All right. So let's just use an example, and we're going to go a little slower than you were. All right. So bear with me.
All right.
Okay. The Yamsuf. Okay. The mishpot of the Yamsuf is this thing is not splitting. Big seas don't do that. Right.
Right.
You're with me 100%.
Yeah.
The tzedek of the situation was always there. Tzedek doesn't make an appearance. It's Hashem's presence. Hashem's mishpot is the sea ain't split. The tzedek is taking the bigger picture. Right now, the sea is splitting. Right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Just like, that's it right there.
And let's take it a level deeper.
Please, hang on. I'm going to go there. Let me go there.
Yeah,
let
yeah.
me go there. The chesed, this is happening in the world. In the world, in the physical world, 3,300 years ago, this happened. The Yam Suf split.
Yeah.
So Mishpot and Tzedek are in this world. Mishpot is how it always is. Tzedek is, sometimes there's a bigger picture, and we're going to play it out and change what you thought the Mishpot was. Okay?
Yeah.
Hashem, on the other side of this physical reality, brings chesed to continue to run the world in which the Yamsef doesn't split. It's Hashem's chesed that the sun rises in the morning, and we have expectations of crops being harvested.
Well, so that is going to get into a point we'll get to in a moment.
Okay.
Within the context that we're talking about, that's not chesed.
That's not chesed.
Okay. Now we're going to get into mishpat.
Okay, so
right,
that's
the sun. The sun rising every day.
That's not chesed.
That's mishpat. That's the rule that God set up. Let the sun rise.
That's mishpat in this world, though. But you're saying, what the Gra is saying is that it's connected to the midah of Hashem
of Emes.
Wait,
mishpat comes from Emes.
Right. Mishpat comes from comes from Emes.
Right.
Oh.
Right. But we'll get into it, but you're not wrong, because we are correct when we say that the air that we breathe and the sun rising and you know, the food that tastes, all of that is chesed. That's also true. We'll get to why in a minute, but I just want to go with just because you brought up the Yom Suf, we have both things in the Yom Suf. We have the point that there's what the laws of nature say should happen. That's the Mishpat. And we have that God said that that we're breaking laws of nature, and that's the tzedek that split the sea. On another level, the Mishpat
the
of
tzedek, though. Emes comes to
tzedek. No, chesed is in tzedek, right? Chesed lines up with tzedek, Mishpat lines up with Emes. But on a second. But on another level, the Mishpat of the Yom Suf, of Kriyas Yom Suf, was what the angels said. The angels are always going to be the midah of Mishpat, right? As we mentioned, the angels follow the rules.
They're about to get the Torah, Matan Torah. They want to put a detour on.
Well, it's not. What's the Mishpat?
Great bureaucrats.
What's the Mishpat? The Mishpat was, what did the angels say when God wanted to split the sea?
Don't do it.
Why?
They're about to get Torah.
Not because they what was their claim?
Jewish people didn't deserve it.
Right. The angel said, "Elu the angel said, "The Mitzrayim, you're going to destroy the Mitzrayim because they're over the Avodah Zarah, because they're idolaters."
Yes.
The Jews are also idolaters. They've been living in Egypt, and they didn't. The Mishpat of the Yom Suf. Not all of them, but
the people who left. Some people stayed.
These are even the people who left, right? But the Mishpat of the Yom Suf was they don't deserve to have the sea split.
Totally.
And the tzedek of the Yom Suf was that what's the difference is Halalu ben Avram ben Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Look at the bigger picture. These are the descendants of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and they have the potential to reach that height. And therefore, the sea is not splitting for them because they deserve it right now. The sea is splitting for them because we look at a bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, where they're coming from and where they're going to, in the bigger picture of existence, this is what needs to happen. And that's the tzedek and the Mishpat line up exactly.
But Hashem said that, not the malachim.
Exactly, because Hashem is that's the atah Hashem levavka. When Hashem himself steps in, that's where chesed comes from. Mishpat came from the angels were claiming the Mishpat. But Hashem says this is what tzedek demands. And now we're going to get to what... why we have both of these things. Hashem created the world for the ultimate purpose of bestowing the ultimate good, absolute good. And that absolute good is defined, as the Ramchal writes at the beginning of Derech Hashem, by Hashem himself. Hashem is the definition of good. And therefore, connection to him and understanding of him is the absolute good. He created the world to reveal himself, and that way we are able to connect to him. Hashem gave us the opportunity to be partners in that process. And therefore, he gave us Bechira, and he gave us a world of Mishpat, in which our actions have consequences. And there is a system, and we are at the center of that system, and our actions have cosmic effects. And we determine the course of history. And as the Sfarim say, that Kibiyot, as it were, in a certain way, God was, to the extent that Mishpat runs its course, God subjected himself to our actions, to the way that we deal with the world. The world of Mishpat is a strict merit system. You get what you deserve. And Yikov Adin Esahar. And the din pierces through the mountain. The din is the din, and nothing's going to stop. Nothing's going to get in its way. And that's the world that God created, as a world in which he gave us the opportunity. But at the end of the day, Hashem wants the world to exist on this level, right? It says Bereishis Bara Elokim. When it starts creation, it describes Hashem is always called Elokim in the entire first chapter of Bereishis. He's Elokim. But all of a sudden, you get to Elotol Shemayim Va'aretz Behi Baram. All of a sudden, you get to Hashem Elokim created the world. The Medrash says, at first Hashem wanted to create the world with with Din, with Elohim, the Midah of Din. But he saw that the world wouldn't be Miskayim, wouldn't be able to live up to that, and therefore he partnered in. Even before humans are created, he partnered in. Wow. Right, we find already on the fourth day of creation that the trees, whatever was not our talk for tonight, maybe we talk about some other time, but the trees disobeyed God. And God told them to become a certain way, and the Medrash discusses they didn't bring it out. The world did not bring out exactly part of the nature of the physical world. Right, we're not gonna get off into that tangent.
He's
Mishtatef, the Midas of Chesed. He put Chesed as a partner, and now it's not just Elohim, it's Hashem Elohim. But the ideal is to live up to Din. God created the world. Why did he create it at first? God didn't know that it wasn't going to work out that way. God created it first with the attribute of Elohim, of Din, because that's the ideal. But, Sof Kol Sof, at the end of the day, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Chesed is what builds the world. Chesed is the reason that God created the world, was because he wanted to be Mischesed, to give Chesed. Chesed is the root cause of existence. Not the things that needed it. Before God created the world, there were no things that needed it. God wanted to create the world in order to give Chesed to others, to an entity that could be called other than himself. The world was created for the purpose of Chesed, and this purpose will not be subverted by man. Hashem looks at the big picture of the world and directs the world towards its final purpose. And this can and at times necessarily involve overriding the system of Mishpat. If we could live up to it, the ideal would be that Chesed would come through Mishpat. That our living up to the system of Din, living up to absolute perfection, that would be the vehicle which brought about that revelation. But the purpose of the world is not to be subverted because we don't live up to Mishpat. When it comes down to it, Hashem overrides the system of Mishpat in order to bring about the purpose of the world. The world is not going to be set off course because we mess it up. The world has a purpose, and that purpose is going to come about no matter what. Parenthetically, the Ramchal in Das Funos writes that in a way which we cannot grasp, which we can't comprehend, these two things don't contradict one another. That at the end, when Hashem reveals himself in Olam Haba, we'll be able to look back and understand why everything that happened was exactly what both Mishpat and Tzedek demanded, in a way that we can't possibly comprehend right now. But there's the world of Mishpat, and there's Tzedek which overrides that Mishpat to bring the world to the always on course to its proper conclusion, to the way that needs to go towards that end of the ultimate Chesed. That's the connection. It's Moloch Ata Hashem Levadcha B'Chesed V'Rachamim. You Hashem rule over us with Chesed and Rachamim. The Tzadikenu B'Mishpat, and it should be Tzadikenu B'Mishpat. It should bring the Tzedek, the overriding the system for the looking at the big picture, looking at the whole context. That should always be directing the world, even through the Mishpat, towards that end, that when it's necessary, when we're letting things go astray, Ata Hashem Levadcha, you Hashem alone, you step in and you redirect the course of the world through your Chesed. That's what the Tzedek is. The Tzedek is that even though Mishpat says there's no room for Chesed, the Tzedek is that you can override the rules, override the system in order to maintain, to preserve. And this is happening all the time.
All the
time.
It doesn't require a Yamsuf to explain this.
That's correct. Right, and that's the Mlochat Hashem Levadcha, you Hashem alone, and then it's Bechesed Rachamim Mitzad Kenu B'Mishpat. And then it's through Chesed and Rachamim, and then it is Tzedek B'Mishpat, then it is the Tzedek which is taking control and directing the world towards its purpose. Alright, so let's stop here.